God's word today, we will turn to Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 27. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Amen. God is the God of revelation. God is the God of revelation. God is the God of revelation. God, in his time, according to his ways, he reveals himself. And to those he decides to reveal himself, he appears in his time, and in his ways, he reveals himself. Therefore, God is the God of revelation. So this is very important for us to have a firm foundation on, clear understanding on, so we don't go astray to other religions or misunderstand the faith that we have. So God is a God of revelation, for he reveals himself in his own time and in his own way. And it's not because men invite or seek him, but it's because he decides to reveal himself. So this derives from God. It originates from God. And he reveals himself to whom he wants. Our faith is to have, is to believe this and to have the faith by revelation. The faith by revelation. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, it says, For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And it's a faith. The faith that we have is a faith of believing this. And we know this by revelation. So the resulting goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls. And this is the faith that we receive in faith by revelation. So this is the faith by revelation. If you have such faith, say amen. So we have the faith by revelation. So we must have a firm grasp on this and have a clear understanding of this so that we do not go astray from such faith. Our faith life is to live according to and obeying the word by revelation. Living a life obeying the revealed word. So today's sermon title is Christianity is Not a Religion. And I came up with this title with the hopes that it would grab someone's attention and so that they can come to know that Christianity is not a religion. So I hope your ears are open today to hear this word. So humans are spiritual beings, and humans are made up of the flesh, material flesh, but also have a spirit within. So people are spiritual beings, and many people in the world, there is some religiosity to them. They believe that there's something spiritual, that there's more to this visible flesh than we can see. And though they don't know what that is exactly, they wonder if there's a spiritual realm. So they speak of spiritual experiences and demons and such things. In fact, men are spiritual beings. So people in the world may say such people with these beliefs are religious, or there are superstitions. So there's religiosity and superstitions in the world, and such people may worship or bow down or pray or give sacrifice to these unknown gods or some sort of statue or object and offer up sacrifices out of religiosity to unknown gods, praying for the protection of some spiritual transcendent beings. And there are religions out there that still give living sacrifices because men by nature have religiosity. So there are various religions such as shamanism, which is not a formalized or organized system of beliefs. Rather, they're just experiences encountered by man. So they speak of these experiences, and it derives from man. So they are man-made and are invented by humans. And they believe in some spiritual presence, so they offer sacrifices and recite chants, do rituals, thinking that there is some sort of supernatural beings out there to protect them. And they pray and seek help to these spiritual beings somewhere out there. But this is from below to above, from man to a supernatural being. So it's from bottom to top, below to above. There are also other religions. There are organized groups that have a system of beliefs and are governed by certain rules and regulations within governing such religious activities. But again, this is also derived from man to some sort of supernatural being. So it's from below to above. Below to above. From man to God. And all these religions and religious activities are derived from man and are man-made inventions. So, therefore, this is irrelevant to God. And we can describe it like an arrow. So, like when you shoot an arrow that goes up and up, but eventually it falls back down. So, this is like man's effort to know of God. And describing man's effort in doing so. Because it's not by the revelation of God, it's irrelevant to God. And so it's like it's called hatha, which is like an arrow that is shot and eventually falls back to the ground. And it is not the faith that God seeks. So it's like the shot arrow that falls back to the ground and strikes you. And it's man-made, and it comes back to destroy him. So that is what religion is like an arrow that's shot and misses its target. It is an invention by men and ultimately destroys him. So along with Hinduism and Buddhism and all these religions are man-made. And especially during this time with the Taliban and fundamentalists of Islam, their beliefs, their religion is causing so much headache and chaos and fear throughout the world. And with such religion, it's causing so much stirring of the whole world. And the fact that it's spreading so quickly, it's very ironic. So we are the so-called Christians, and we believe in God. And that's why it's called Christianity. And many people may consider it a religion. But we consider it not a religion, but faith by revelation. So I have no religion, but I have faith by revelation. We have to be certain of this, that we have no religion, but faith by revelation. I have the faith by revelation. Amen. Hallelujah. So this revelation is from heaven and from God. And this revelation we've received. And our faith is a reaction, a response, an act of obedience to that revelation that we've received. So we should be proud of having such faith by revelation. So there are so many religions in the world, and they say that Muhammad received revelation around the age of 30. He was just a man who received revelation, saying he received, he went somewhere and got a calling by an angel, and that's what they say. But the Christian faith that we have is the faith by revelation. And by origin, in its essence, it's incomparable to any other religions and incomparable to any man-made invention, for those are so foolish and irrelevant to God. And we have this faith by revelation from God. So our faith, where does it come from and where does it originate? It's from the Bible. The Bible is like the foundation and basis of the faith that we have. When we open the Bible, it says in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So God is the creator and he is the only one God. So this is where we start in the Bible. And as per John chapter 5 verse 39, it says you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. So eternal life. So eternal life means that we're not only flesh, but we have the spirit that lives on after the flesh dies. So the Bible speaks of this afterlife and of heaven and hell. And as spiritual beings, we are to seek eternal life. So starting from God, the God who is the creator of all the heavens and earth, what the Bible points us to is Jesus. The scripture all points to Jesus. In John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, these are the very scriptures that testify about me. So it started from the Creator God and leads up to the Son of God, whom he sent, who came as flesh, Jesus Christ. And the purpose is that through scriptures we can receive eternal life. Amen. So the start is different from any other religion out there. So God did not reveal this one moment all at once. For if he did, no one would believe. So it's not a one-time occurrence. Rather, it's throughout history that God revealed himself through his dispensation according to his schedule and plan. And we see this through the Bible. So the first man to receive God's command was Adam in the Garden of Eden, who was a living being, a spirit with flesh. So God commanded that he could eat of anything in the garden except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God gave this man, Adam, freedom. But in order to receive true freedom, he was to obey the command of God. However, in the garden was the devil in the form of the serpent, who deceived man and said that they shall surely not die, but be like God. As Adam and Eve ate the fruit and sinned, they were banished from the Garden of Eden. Before they were, though, God called Adam to let him know. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So what he was to know was that the offspring of the woman to come would crush the head of the serpent, and the offspring of the serpent would be judged and condemned. And this is the prophecy that was made. So he called Adam to let him know this and to wait for this day to come. And after some years, God called on a man named Abraham. And he received the promise that he would be the father of all nations and that all nations would be blessed through him. So we are to take this as stepping stones. Just like when you need to cross the river to get to the other side, you have to walk on these stepping stones to get there. So first we have to know who Adam is and then Abraham. These are the foundations and the stepping stones of our faith. And we have to know that God called Adam, then Abraham, to carry out his will. So when God called Abraham, he instructed Abraham to leave his home country. And he was able to have a son at an old age of 100. God instructed him to go to Mount Moriah to offer his only son as a burnt sacrifice. Abraham, he did not make any excuses or question God or doubt him, but he did as instructed, and the moment that he was about to strike with the dagger was when God called out to stop him and said, "I know you fear the Lord," and his son was spared and a ram was provided instead. So as Abraham obeyed, he was blessed with many descendants, and from him came the people of Israel, who were later enslaved in Egypt for over 430 years. So it seemed like they were a people not of God. But when time came, as God promised, he called on a man named Moses to lead his people out. And this is called the Exodus. So I hope there's a new joiner here so you can know what the Christian faith is and that Christianity is not a religion but different from other religions in the world. So later, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob became the Israelites. When the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, Jehovah called the Israelites my people. My people. So they were his people. They were to remember the Lord Jehovah, the God of their ancestors of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he was the Lord Jehovah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And this was instilled in them that he was the creator. What he said to the Israelites was that you are the people that I called in order to reveal himself. So they were called by God, and they were called his people who belonged to him. But did they know this? They did not. Though they were the Israelites, there were some who didn't believe or know any of this. In order for them to believe and never forget, this is why God called men to be prophets, and so that through dreams or visions, they were revealed things that other people didn't know, so that by this, they could reveal the words of God. And these were the rule of the prophets that were called. So how were the people to know that these men were true prophets, as there were also false prophets who claimed they were the voice of God and misled the people? So how were they to distinguish between the true and false prophets? So there were signs that followed, and prophecies being fulfilled, whether a few months later or a year later, it was through these signs and the fulfillment of these prophecies that they were able to know if they were true prophets or not, to tell whether they were truly sent by God. So it's through this that people were able to know. Also, God gave the law through Moses and instructed them to build the sanctuary and gave them the laws to keep and to give sacrifices and offerings so they wouldn't forget that he is the God who created the heavens and earth and that he called them to become his people. So since Abraham, he prophesied that when the right time has come, he would come. And in Genesis chapter 18, verse 10, it says, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. So when God called Abraham and said that he'd have a son at such an old age, though Abraham and Sarah were already very old and past childbearing age, God promised him that he would have a son. Abraham received this and said, Amen. So they were able to have a son, even past this old age. And so they consider Abraham also one of the prophets. So there were the prophets and the law, and it was through that the word of God was fulfilled and experienced. They were able to experience God, and it was through this that allowed them to wait for the one who'd be sent by God, just like God promised Abraham that he would return, so that they would not forget. There were the prophets, and they were also instructed to build the tabernacle, the sanctuary. Regardless, though they experienced so many wonders and miracles, they did not believe and did not keep the covenant and the law. Rather, they worshipped idols and other gods, also offered blemished offerings and cheated God. Therefore, they were destroyed as a nation, and though they were the holy people of God, whom God spoke to and revealed himself to, and to whom he gave the promise that he would send someone, they became astray. And as a result, they were cursed, and when they engaged in battles, they lost, and their people were taken captive by their enemies. So curse fell on the people of Israel because they didn't believe, even though God revealed through so many experiences who he is. Later was the prophet Malachi, and after that, from him to Matthew in the Bible, it seems like only one chapter, but in time span, it was around 400 years. From Malachi to Matthew, 400 years passed, and we call this the Middle Ages or Dark Ages, because there were no prophets who received revelation from God. No prophets to lead the people by the light. And there was no light or leader or prophet that was able to lead them to the light. And that's why it's called the Dark Ages. So these 400 years passed, and that's when we come to the New Testament, starting with Matthew chapter 1. In the New Testament, it speaks of the genealogy of the records of Jesus Christ. And through this genealogy, we see from Abraham, and then we see that through Mary, Jesus Christ was born. So this is according to the prophecy made in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That a virgin would give birth to a son, and that son would become a king. As prophesied, it was fulfilled, and Jesus is called Christ, Yeshua. So that a virgin who knew no man would bear a son, and his name would be Yeshua, and he is the Christ. So Christ means anointed king. He is a king. In Matthew chapter 1 and Genesis, it's recorded that through the virgin, Jesus was born. So in Luke, Mary received through the angel word that she'd bear a son. And this was as prophesied by God and fulfilled to the prophecy of God that she'd give birth to not man, but the Son of God. When Mary heard that she would bear the Son of God, she said, "Amen, let your word be fulfilled." Initially, she asked, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" But the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant, so let his word be fulfilled." She said, "May your word to me be fulfilled." So servant, a female servant in Greek is doula. And what this word means is it's like a pocket, like a womb. So women have this pocket, which is referring to the womb where the seed of God would be planted so that Jesus would come. So Mary, she would bear the Son of God. So let his word be fulfilled. And she said, "May your word to me be fulfilled," meaning, "Let the seed of your word be planted in me." So may your word to me be fulfilled. So let the seed of your word be planted in me. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it speaks of the imperishable seed. So it's referred to as a living seed, the imperishable seed that she received from God. Mary, this woman, this servant, this pocket, this field for the child. So anyone with this pocket could receive this seed. But it was Mary who was the one to receive this prophecy, as she was the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She knew this prophecy that the king would come, and she believed this. It was a prophecy about the Messiah to come, the king to come, and she believed. And to the one who believed this, the angel appeared and delivered her this message that she would bear the Son of God. Initially, she questioned how she, who knew no man could bear a child. But she believed that it would all happen according to God's prophecy. And the moment she received this, she said, "Amen, let your word be fulfilled." And we see the word who came in the flesh, Jesus Christ. So now, John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the word." So everything, our faith is based on the Bible. So the basis of our faith, where is it? It's in the beginning. All creation occurred. But then there is another beginning before that, which is the beginning mentioned in John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 is the beginning when God created the heavens and earth and created all things. But the beginning referred to in John is a different beginning. It's before all things were created. So before creation in eternity. So in the beginning. So in the beginning was the word. The word. Hologos. Which means the self-manifestation of God. It is the self-manifestation of God that God manifests himself. So, it is God's self-revelation. So we said God is the God of revelation. It's not through man's invitation or effort, but rather God in his own time and his own way, he revealed himself. So the word is the self-manifestation of God, God's self-revelation. So other religions are man-made and human inventions. But in Christianity, God gives us the faith by revelation. For he is the God of revelation who reveals himself in his own time and according to his own way. So in the beginning was whole logos, the self-manifestation of God. And when he decided to reveal himself, he was the Word. And it says the Word was with God and is God. So the Word is God. So God doesn't reveal himself in his entirety, but the part that he revealed himself, the greatest extent to which he revealed himself to mankind, to the created being, is in the form of the Word. Do you understand? For example, on a dark night, you can't see and make out all the facial features of someone. And just like when someone's dozing off and their father hits their face to wake them up, and they initially see the fist, but then realize that's their father's hand. That part is like the Word. But here it says the Word is God. The Word is God. It's not the entirety of God, but the part revealed to man. And this is what God decided in the beginning in eternity. So we must know the Word in order to know God. And it says the Word was God. So the Word is God's greatest extent of revealing himself. There is no other way. And the greatest extent to which we can know God is the Word. So John chapter 1 verse 2 to 3, it says, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So he created all things, the heavens and the earth, the angels, man, everything he created it all. And it was through the Word he created all things. As we read in Genesis, it says, let there be, and there was. And who is the Word? It is God. So in the beginning, the Word, God, the Creator, are all the same. So the Word, God, Creator, are the same. And verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Son of God, the one and only, came in the flesh. So the Word, God, Creator, are all equal, and flesh are all equal, and it refers to Jesus. So the Word, God, Creator, Yeshua, they are all synonymous. The Word, God in the flesh, Jesus, the Son of God, the one and only, are all synonymous and refers to Yeshua, meaning that he is the Creator. So we have to open our eyes here. It's not easy, but this is what thousands of years of history are recorded for. Starting from the prophecy in Isaiah that a virgin would give birth, and through all the prophets and their function, in order for everything to happen and occur according to the schedule of God. That's why God, there are the stepping stones. And that's why God, first he called on Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the prophets, so that all things are like stepping stones that we have to cross in order to arrive and truly meet and know who he decided to send, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one and only. Then as the last prophet, there's John the Baptist, who was born 6 months prior to Jesus, and he appeared in the desert and blew the last trumpet, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven was near and to repent for the one who comes after him, that very God, the one whom they waited for generations, has finally come. So Abraham, when he received the promise from God that he would surely return in Genesis chapter 18, verse 10, there'd be a prophecy that he would come through the Virgin Mary. And now as prophesied, he came to the world as the one and only Son, the Son of Man. And it is John the Baptist who introduced the way for him to come. So for 400 years, they had no prophet. And it was the prophet's role and function to guide and lead the people, telling them what to do and not to do. So the people were worried, for they had no prophets, they had no revelation from God, and they felt they were cut off from God. And that is when John the Baptist appeared. And in the desert, he was wearing strange clothing and shouted to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was near. So there were people who gathered to receive baptism, but John said they must first bear fruit in keeping with repentance, that they were not ready yet, that they must produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. So this shows how people who once received the revelation from God all the more sought revelation from God and received baptism, even without knowing what it meant. Then Jesus was baptized, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. So finally, it was this moment that, as God decided in the beginning, to the created, he revealed himself. He revealed himself to the greatest extent, which was in the form of the Word, who came in the flesh and was the Son whom he loved and was well pleased with. So this was finally fulfilled after thousands of years of waiting. So again, Word became flesh, God became flesh, the Spirit became flesh, Creator became flesh. The one and only God had finally come. He was one with whom God was well pleased with. So people who believed this, they wanted to listen to the word of Jesus. However, Jesus appeared before the temple and said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. So this wasn't what the people expected, for why did he appear saying to destroy the temple where they served God? For Jehovah was the creator God. So Jehovah, the name of Jehovah was the name of God who the people called before the coming of the true name of the Father. So it was like a name that was given to little children before the true one to come. So Jehovah was the name of God who he revealed to the Israelites. And it was the temple that reminded them of that. The temple made by human hands reminded the Israelites of the name of Jehovah, who he revealed himself to the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now this temple was to be destroyed, and he would reveal himself to all people and to all nations. And that is why he said to destroy the temple. And when would he reveal himself? He would reveal himself through his death and resurrection. And through that, they would know who he is. That he is the one who was there in the beginning. And that he would die and resurrect and be the one who is to come. Amen. Hallelujah. And from that time on, he started to speak and teach. He started to speak. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. It says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. So who is this referring to? So verse 1, who is this referring to? This is referring to Jehovah God, that in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Then in verse 2, it says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So in these last days, he appeared in the flesh. And the name he came with was Yeshua. Yeshua. So the Son of God, called Yeshua, he has spoken, and now is the era where the Son would speak. So the era where the Son would speak. He is the Creator. So the era where the Creator spoke to them was the era of the Israelites, the era of the law. But now came the era where they would be spoken to by the Son, which is the gospel, the era of the Holy Spirit. So God, who in the past spoke to their forefathers, the people of Israel, this same God who was the Word came in the flesh, and now the Son would speak. And the Son is the Word, that Jesus opened his mouth and spoke, and this is the Son who spoke, and it is the Word who spoke. So the Son spoke. And in other words, the Word spoke. In the English Bible, what Jesus has spoken is indicated by red letters. So even other religious people don't deny Jesus. They may think that he was a prophet, meaning he was a man who spoke. A man who speaks, a holy or noble man, a powerful man, a good man who spoke, but just a man. But we believe that when we hear the words of Jesus, it's the Word who speaks. It's the Creator who speaks. Amen. We have to truly understand this to know what faith we have. So he is the Son of God who came from the Father, the God who came in the flesh. So he was in the Father, in God, and such God he revealed himself and declared himself. So he revealed himself. So seeing Jesus, they said, show us God. However, Jesus, he replied that he and the Father are one, that he is God. But many people were unable to believe or recognize who he was. For Jesus lived and was born like any other man, so they were unable to believe, for they saw him grow up. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we can truly know and experience. And the Holy Spirit comes to believers, for the Holy Spirit was with God and knows who Jesus is, that he is the Word, and that he was born through Mary, the woman. But now the Holy Spirit, who knows and experienced all of this, enters believers to let them know that Jesus is God and that he is the Word. And it is the Word who speaks. If you truly know and believe this, raise your hand. If you truly know this, believe this, raise your hand. And to such people, you can proclaim that you have the faith by revelation. I have the faith by revelation. Who helps us believe? We read in the opening passage, and this is the will of the Father. It says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. This is the will of the Father. So I mentioned before that God reveals himself to whom he wishes. So it's not to the wise and learned, but those who are genuine and pure and simple that he reveals himself to, like the little children. So say amen if you have the faith by revelation. So before God, it's not about how much wisdom or education or knowledge you have. It's not those who are intelligent or smart, but it's to those like little children that he reveals himself. It doesn't mean you speak like a baby, but your heart and mind need to be like little children. They are to be pure. For little children are like blank canvases. And if you paint it red, it becomes red. If you paint it yellow, then it becomes yellow. If you paint it green, then green. This is the blessed heart. Like this, you can receive the faith by revelation. And through this, we can know who God is and that Jesus is the Word and that he is God. And this is the faith by revelation. So we have to truly examine ourselves to see if the faith that we have is a faith by revelation. So when we turn to Matthew chapter 13, verses 9 to 15, we must truly ask ourselves if we have the faith by revelation. So verse 9, whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they will have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. So it says, he who has ears, let them hear and lets them understand these words, and that the knowledge and secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to us by God. And that for others, even with ears, those who do not know the secret of heaven, what they have would be taken from them. And then verse 17, it says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. So listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So hearing the word means the word has fallen into your heart. When you plant a seed, it can either grow or not. So out of us, we are all hearing the word right now. But only those who receive the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. The secrets of the kingdom of heaven. So why is it a secret? Because only those who know can truly understand. So it's only those who know and understand its importance. So when we hear the words and we bear fruit, if there are such people, then there are also people that though they hear the word, they can't retain it, as they are worried and anxious with life's worries and quickly fall away, as we read here, and are unable to bear fruit due to the deceitfulness of wealth. So those who hear the word and understand it, are those who bear fruit. So say amen, meaning, oh, that's what he meant. But not only that, but truly understanding it, meaning not just hearing it through your ears, but it reaches your soul and moves your soul. And so you say amen. Just like the choral piece was about amen. Like that, this is the response to the words of Jesus Christ. We hear his word and we say amen. So this must be our response. So amen means so be it, meaning very truly, I agree that his word will be fulfilled. Amen. And we receive it and put it into action, bearing fruit. So when we hear the word, it's not just to remain in our thoughts and head, but we put it into action, carry it out. Amen. Hallelujah. So those who didn't understand and misunderstood him, they captured him and put him to death. And as he died, he said, "It is finished." What did he finish? As it says in John chapter 10, verse 17 to 18, it says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So according to the Father's command, he laid down his life. As he believed this, that he would be raised back to life, he laid down his life and he glorified the Father. And with his death, he also condemned the devil, who was the father of lies and deceit. Jesus, he sprinkled his blood. And to those souls who receive it, their eyes and ears are open. Say amen if you have the blood of Jesus in you. So now with his blood in us, we have to come alive. And it's the Holy Spirit who comes into us so that it can take effect in our lives. So now we speak of the dichotomy of the Son of Man. He is the God of revelation, and to some, he opens their eyes so they can see, and to others, he closes their eyes, as it says in John chapter 12, verse 40. It says, "Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him." And then it says, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." So even though they saw Jesus perform many signs in their presence, because they still did not believe him, he blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they would be blind. So he can also make one not believe. So he can make one believe and also not believe. So we have to truly examine ourselves where we stand. That when Jesus sees us, are we seen like little children with genuine and clean hearts? Just like when a child is afraid when he's scolded and happy when praised. Just like those those who are like little children, he will allow them to believe more, open their eyes, and have more faith. However, those who have seen and experienced but still doubt and question, their eyes will be blinded and their hearts hardened, calloused, and not believe, eventually to go to hell. If one does not receive the faith by revelation. So the word of Jesus and the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, if you truly believe this is the word of God for your spirit, then you make this resolve to live according to the word. But if you don't make this confession and put it into action, whatever little faith you have will be taken away. Like a small dewdrop that dries, he will snatch away whatever faith you have from you. If you've received the word but don't receive it, then it will go away. It says, for you will ever be hearing but never understanding. You will ever be seeing but never perceiving. For he will blind their eyes and harden their hearts. So where do you stand? So say amen if you believe that he is opening your eyes. Do you believe that he is opening your eyes and ears more, so that all the more the depth and breadth of knowing Jesus is becoming greater and greater? Say amen if you believe so. Or do you feel you're hearing the same message over and over again, and that it's repetitive and boring? It's always Adam and Moses and Egypt and the Israelites. Like I mentioned before, these are the stepping stones in this Christian faith for us to truly know who Jesus is. And we have to have this firm foundation, this basis, as it's the basis of our faith. So we know which direction we ought to go. So like when you shoot an arrow, the more you pull, the farther you pull, the greater the chances to hit the target. Isn't that right? You can't just pull halfway. It's not going to reach the target. So you can't read and know the Bible from Matthew chapter 1. You have to go further and further back, even past Genesis to eternity in John chapter 1. Amen. And this is why I explained to you in such detail, so you cannot claim that you don't know. For you've all heard. So this is why, like little children with pure hearts, it says that there's hell, then you believe and fear hell. Are you afraid of hell? Raise your hand. Out of all of us, there's probably no one more afraid of hell than me. I can't even stand a shot, as I can't take pain. So back in the old days, they gave different kinds of shots, and it was so painful. And it leave this mark on your arm. And I go to the, I couldn't enter the doctor's office, as I am so afraid of pain. And I'm also so afraid of the dark. It is just so scary. If I can't enter the bright and eternal kingdom of freedom and end up in the dark and scary place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, or if I end up in hell, I just can't even stand the thought of that. Just so scary. The Bible tells us there's hell, and then we believe that and fear it. And if the Bible tells us there's heaven, then we believe that, like someplace excited, so we should be excited to go to heaven, like little children, that we are so overjoyed and excited to enter the bright and glorious kingdom of heaven. So after Jesus ascended to heaven, he now sits on the throne and sent the Holy Spirit. So he was sent and speaks to the churches, so we can believe and obey. As it says in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, it says so that we can come to the obedience that comes from faith. So Paul, he received so much from Christ. He was called by grace and was able to know the gospel. And he came to know that this was the mystery of Christ, the secret of Christ. That it says, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past about Jesus Christ. And that is why he was able to endure all the suffering and persecution to testify who Jesus is. So we have to really now truly examine ourselves. Many have received the Holy Spirit and living a life of obedience. But what we have to pay close attention to is religiosity. When I speak of religiosity, it's when you are cut off from the spirit of revelation. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 onwards, it speaks of the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of revelation. So when we believe in Jesus, we've received the revelation of God. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, he lets us know how amazing it is to have come to truly know the mystery of God. So we are so touched and moved that we have received it. So we can't stay put, but we go out, and even at the risk of facing ridicule or persecution, we go out to testify who he is, because we've received the spirit of revelation. Because the spirit of revelation works in you. King Saul, the Bible mentions that he once had the spirit of the Lord, but because he had evil in his heart and that was not in God's favor, it turned to an evil spirit. It says, now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and the spirit of revelation, that is good. However, if we aren't moved or touched by the spirit of revelation and don't act accordingly, then it can change to a spirit of religiosity. So there are many believers who have now become religious. That when we first received grace, when we first received this revealed word, we were so mesmerized and so amazed by the secret of Christ, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of heaven, that has been revealed to you. Just like when a seed is planted, it must grow. We must now move. But if we don't, and bear no fruit. However, as time passes, you keep the Lord's day and you tithe and praise, but there is no touching or movement, no love in you, then you are slowly changing into a religious man. Even in our church, I am witnessing many people who have become religious. They do all the basics, but have lost their first love. The Bible tells us to repent and go back to our first love and first deeds and first passion, first zeal that we have received when we first received grace in the revelation. When we first received grace and this faith by revelation, we were so touched and happy. But why are you no longer happy or touched by the word or filled with joy? It's because this has become merely habitual. It's become a religion. We see in the news how scary the Taliban are. And in a blink of an eye, they kill thousands. And that's how scary religion can be. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 to 14, it talks about spiritual warfare. So the warfare in the end times, is the spiritual warfare. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So the battle and struggle in the end times is not against flesh and blood or nation. It's a spiritual battle. So it's against all the principalities, the isms, like evolutionism, atheism, and against the authorities is referring to the political parties or any political idea. We see this with Islam, that they have a rule and hold over the powers of the world with their religion, that this religious conflict is causing so much chaos and stirring up the whole world. Even the U.S., we see how the powers of this dark world have a grip on this world right now. And powers of this dark world are referring to spiritual ignorance and superstitions, cults that keep people in the dark. And as the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, as Christians, what we must know is that there are evil and wicked in the heavenly realms. It says in the heavenly realms, and in such places like heavenly realms, there's evil. Where's the heavenly realm on earth? It's the church. The spiritual forces of evil in the church is religiosity. That even in the boundaries of the church, even amongst believers, even amongst us, there is religiosity that would bring those down to follow the devil to hell. And it's the spirits of religiosity that are doing this. So we must not be religious no matter what. I will not become a religious man. So the religious man, holy and upright like a Pharisee, is pointing out the faults of others. Or like those who claim they pray and tithe and do service, but they cannot tolerate the mistakes of others. They cannot tolerate the mistakes of their fellow brothers and sisters, so they point fingers and condemn them. That's a religious man. Do you have faith? Then you are to test yourself and confirm that you truly have faith. And the spirit of revelation is working in you. So you have to truly examine yourself. If you have faith in the spirit of revelation and the word is circulating and functioning and working in you, to test and confirm this. If the spirit of revelation is cut, then you become a religious man like a Pharisee. You understand? We have to go back to our first love, like when we made the confession that we are the worst of sinners. And such undeserving sinner, being so touched and moved by how he revealed himself to us. We have to maintain this heart to the end, to not become a religious man. And for the rest of our lives, to make the resolve that we will not become religious men. That it's only by grace that we were called, and by grace he opened our eyes to understand the word, and by grace that he allowed us to live by the word and to have this position that keeps us alive. This word is just so touching to me, and we have to be like little children with pure and genuine hearts to receive the word and to be afraid of hell and looking after souls along with us to be heaven bound, to not even lose one soul. Right now, it's by the revealed word and the spirit of revelation that he reveals himself and works, but that day will come when we will be able to see him face to face in the air. So until then, it's by the Spirit and faith by revelation that we head on towards the Father's house. Amen. Hallelujah. For the rest of our lives, regardless of age and status, let us maintain the heart of a child that is pure. Because God says it's sin, we don't want to sin and are afraid of the consequence of sin and cannot stand not repenting and afraid of pain and hell. So therefore, we do all that we can to cut off sin and all the more be pressed to obey the word and the truth so that we can arrive at the Father's house on that day. Amen. So the day our Lord Jesus Christ returns, we can meet him in the air. To such person with the spirit of revelation, what is made known to them is the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, it says, "This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church." The church is the body of Christ and is the kingdom of Christ. This is a profound mystery. The church is the pure bride he will take on the day of his return. We have to truly understand that. And so you understand this, and so you cannot give up or be separated from the church. And to such person who has this confession and this understanding is a person who has received this revelation of the profound mystery. This is a profound mystery, and it's just so amazing. So let us all be those who have received such revelation. Until your very last breath and your spirit leaves your flesh, we pray so that the spirit of revelation continues to work in us and move in us. And I pray for this every single day, so that the spirit of revelation continues to work in me, so that I can preach such words that move your soul, so that we don't become religious, but rather become men of noble faith, the faith by revelation. And I pray for this daily. So let us, through the word we heard today, first become like little children with pure and genuine hearts. And the moment we understand the word, we apply it to our lives and we carry it out and bear fruit. So we are not religious men, but become those who have received faith by revelation. Let us pray.